greetings to you once again, my brothers and my sisters, in Christ Jesus, in that name that is above every other name, that name that has power over every situation, over every circumstance, that name that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He, Jesus Christ, indeed is Lord. Lord of all, Lord over all, Lord in and through all. In Him we live and move and have our being. In Him all things hold together. You know, in the midst of a world that is struggling right now, and seemingly in a difficult time, in birth pangs, as it were. Yeah, in the middle of this, realize that the whole thing is held together anyways, because God allows it to hold together. I mean, we could have, in a moment, an instant apocalypse, if God just said, all right, at this moment, all the atoms no longer will hold together. They just fall apart. Now, on three. One, two, three, now. It'd be done. But the entire drama, performance, if you would, there's a reason and a purpose for all of this. For all that we experience, for all that we know, for all that we understand. And you should not despise the experience. You should not despise the challenge. You should not look at it through natural eyes, because there's a spiritual reality that's at work behind all of these things. Yes, you have the devil, which seeks to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, going at it and doing what he does. And then at the same time, you have God's purposes being manifest and taking place. And amidst the challenges that we face, God is in control. Now, you know, I talked a little bit about, you know, even last time, a little bit about the need to be instantly obedient to what it is that the Spirit of God quickens you to do. This is true, more and more true. It's always true, but this is even more and more important, if you would, in the time that we're moving into, because little things from before that didn't seem to have a consequence, now their consequences are much greater. Because, you know, it's like before you would have stubbed your toe, now you'll break your leg. It's that kind of thing. The stakes get higher. I'm just talking about something in the natural realm. In the realm of spirit, there's always just that, whether you are walking in obedience and in the lordship of Christ Jesus, or whether you are turning your face away from Him and going in another direction, in another way, a way that would ultimately lead to your destruction of your spirit and your soul, as the world and all that it's part of goes to destruction. You know, it's pretty crazy and pretty sick when you see how greed is so out of control, and the ramifications of that greed just taking hold of people's lives when they're in positions of power, and when that power is given full vent, given over to a corrupt human mind, a corrupt human spirit, and demonic forces that work through those human agents, and what they are capable of, the horrors that are built into the flesh apart from God. You know, when you start to see that, you start to realize, thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for being saved from ourselves. See, No one can boast. No one can boast about their own righteousness. Because if you're honest about it, you realize that if it were not for the grace of God, if it were not for the power of God doing what He has done in your life, you too and I too would be, we'd be pretty darn bad. We already have all of our flaws, even with salvation, even with our struggles that we have going through this life. But if it wasn't for Him and the power that gives us the chance to change, which is the power of His Spirit, if it wasn't for that, boy, we would be in, we would be downright terrible. You know, I saw a movie the other day. It's called The Devil's Double. And it was based on a true story about Uday, one of Saddam Hussein's sons. And just what that guy was like. It was supposedly written by his body double, you know, his decoy double that he had. I mean, of course, Hollywood, and of course, certain things are embellished. But yeah, when people get in positions of power and authority and are not led by the Spirit of God, they can be something quite evil, as was kind of outlined in that movie. Just quite a horrible, horrible human being. But the realization too that, you know what, if it were not for the grace of God, that's the way that people go. You know, the satanic, when it takes over a person's life, it destroys them as well. And see, that's the thing too, is these people that may have power and position and authority in the natural realm, look at them and see what ends up happening to them too. You know, when you go all out sinning, you destroy your body, you destroy your mind, you destroy your spirit. I mean, you know, a lot of people, if they get, you know, an unlimited amount of cash, if they have that and they're not regulated by the Spirit of God, they will sure enough destroy themselves very quickly. Because that resource is an allowance for them to go full on with the things that would be hurtful for them. So before, they couldn't afford to have an unlimited bar tab. Before, they couldn't afford to the designer drugs. Before, they couldn't afford to support the women and the luxuries and the pleasures and all the other things that they went after, but that they wanted in their heart, because their desire was for the world. But when they have it, now all of a sudden they go that way, and what do they end up doing? They end up destroying themselves, because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, it's so true. And payday does come for everyone. Those that have sown to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit life. Those that have sown to the flesh will reap from the flesh corruption and destruction. That's, you know, point blank, Scriptures 101. If people understand that, you then understand where your priorities should be. And, you know, there is a tug of war that goes on inside of us, inside of our hearts. You know, I think it is a challenge, you know, sometimes, because, you know, this world is sort of held in a bit of an equilibrium where, you know, there's a balance that's maintained so that you would be able to make choice, so that you would be able to choose you this day whom you will serve. See, there had to be that. There had to be good and evil. There had to be light and dark. There had to be the demonic had to have real power. you know, it couldn't just be a perception. It had to be, ultimately this world is an illusion. And this life is an illusion. But in the natural, in this paradigm, the enemy of our soul had to have power. Because without that, there would not be a fair challenge that we would have to experience and overcome if we would, in truth, follow light and the Spirit of God. See, we needed to have a challenge. We needed something to overcome. Because, you know, what we have in Christ is beyond, my gosh, it's so far beyond the challenges that we would face in this life. It's so far beyond, you know, the experiences, the loss, the pain, the hurt, the abuse, the traumas, the whatever it is that people may have faced. Look, it's what we have in Christ is so far beyond that, that if people could see that and see that element and receive that element, they would. It's nothing, you know. It's that the things that we've gone through and experienced, they're really nothing in the grand eternal scheme of things. Because no, some of you right now, you're like, you know, you don't know what I've gone through and through all this trauma and all these other things. Yes, God knows what you've been through, but when you experience in eternity, and you can even experience some of that even right now, that floodlight of the life of God flowing through you and the power of God that makes all things new, you'll realize that really those things, they don't have a hold on you in eternity. See, here's another thing too. The bodies that we're in right now, look, when we leave this life, we leave these bodies. That's part of the deal. And the bodies that we're in, you know, they're only for this, just your earth suit, just for this window of time period. So yeah, do what you can to make sure that your suit lasts as long as it can and is in good a shape as it possibly can be while you're here. But it's just that, it's just an earth suit. It's just something that allows you to be in this reality for this window of time. And that's it. Once it's done, you know, you don't have, and when you leave this life, you're going to leave behind the pain and the struggle that you've had in the body, in the flesh. You don't carry it with you. So, you know, if you struggle with things right now, well, one, realize that there's no thing that you will face that is not common unto the people of God. And the admonition of Christ Jesus has always been to him who overcomes. To him who overcomes, he gives the right to be the children of God. He, you know, we overcome in Christ. He gives that right to sit down at his right side, to take up your place in the eternal reality. You know, we overcome in Christ. But, you know, it isn't easy, and I can appreciate that. It's not an easy road. It's not nice to be shot at all the time. It's not nice to have to, you know, deal with these things that come again and again against you, and all you're trying to do is that good work that God's put in front of you. You're not trying to hurt anybody. You're not trying to steal from anyone. You're not trying to make an issue for anybody. You're just trying to fulfill that plan and purpose that God's given you, and yet you get shot at. You bless, and yet people curse you. You help, and then people stab you. Yeah, that's not nice. You know, it's not nice when your heart and your intention is honorable and people treat it with despise and contempt. It's not nice when you know, the people that you love and care for turn around and do horrible things. That's not nice. Of course it's not. But scriptures are true too when they say that a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. You know, I mean the people that are close to you. Because the spirit divides. The spirit separates. Soul and spirit. The sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. It separates. And it does draw a line in the sand. How now do we live? How now do we go through? You know, we asked that one, you know, recently as well. How now do we go through all of these things? Well, one thing is always is we have to remain on track and on focus. And you keep your eyes fixed on Christ Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Because as you focus your heart and your eyes on Him, He shows you the way to go. He shows you the way, walk ye in it. You know, even if it's as much as just Peter walking on the water, just come over here. Just walk towards me. And it doesn't matter what's going on around you, how bad things rage around you, God will take care of you. God will watch over you. He's always in control. In every situation that you face, God is always in control. Yeah. Oh, I know. You know, it's interesting with these drive times. You know, I usually, this evening, I've got to make a stop, say goodbye to somebody that's about to travel. So I'm going out in this regular work traffic, and man, this stuff is thick even at 7 p.m. at night. You know, backed up like nothing else. You know, all of these vehicles on the road, every one of them filling up with overpriced gasoline and diesel, and people keep it going. Transportation being a massive issue for all of these countries. You need to get around to do the things that we do. But you know what? All this stuff is going to be brought to a halt in the not-too-distant future. Because resources will get scarce. Opportunities will be bare. And in those times, you better have developed that foundation in Christ where you can, you know, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Because He adds all those things unto you that you need. He takes care of it. You know because you've been living that. You've been experiencing that. If the first time that you're actually going to try to test it out is when you come into this next season, you're going to have some trouble. Because, you know, the time to try to do an Ironman is not the day of. Or triathlon, I should say. It's not the day of the triathlon. You better have prepared and gotten yourself ready for what it is that you're going to face. You know, God wants you to prepare yourself and prepare yourself quickly for what's at hand and what's to come. You know, you've got to make it a priority. Because without that, you know, without that priority, without that set there, if you just sort of let things be what they are, well, you know, then you're going to just be a victim of circumstance. You know, God moves His people exactly where He wants them to be. He has them do exactly what He would have them to do. But they are not victims. The people of God are not victims. Because they choose to lay down their lives and they take them up again. They go into difficult situations and they choose to allow themselves to be there. You know, when Peter was going to be crucified, he chose to go back to Jerusalem to experience that. He didn't run away from it. He didn't run away from the difficulties that he would face. He laid down his life, as did Paul, as did John the Baptist, as did all of the apostles. They willingly and willfully laid down their lives for the higher calling that Christ had for them. Because they didn't count their lives worthy or worth saving in this world, I should say. And their lives were made something special because of Christ, period. Nothing of themselves, nothing in their own best efforts. Their lives were made something because Christ made them something. And when he had done that for them, they freely were willing to lay them down according to his plan and purpose for whatever he desired, even if it be martyrdom, even if it be the loss of all their possessions, even if it meant the being ostracized or being marginalized and put asunder, just because they were followers of Christ and they lived a righteous life. You know, for us, we willingly allow for whatever the situation that God would put us in. We don't mind. You know, we, as long as he's there. Yeah, as long as he's there. You know, it's like Moses said when he was in the wilderness and God said, all right, you know, I'm going to send my angel ahead of you to drive out, you know, the people, the inhabitants of this land, but I can't go with you. I won't go with you because if I do, I might destroy you guys along the way. And what did Moses say? He said, you know what? Lord, we're not moving from here unless you go with us. And that is part of the nature of a child of God, is you do not want to move unless the Spirit of God moves with you. You do not want to go anywhere unless he's going with you. Unless he's leading and guiding you, you don't want to have anything to do with it. You would rather stay in a dry, barren wilderness with the presence of God than have all the treasures of this world and miss him. And that is part of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Is that you need that. You need that commitment. You need that level in your heart. And there's a lot of people that want Jesus in the world too. And it doesn't work like that. There's two kingdoms that are completely opposed to each other. There's two kingdoms that will never ever meet. What fellowship has light with darkness? The power of God with the power of Baal. There's no fellowship. There is no meeting of the minds. There is no comfortable coexistence. There is no Chrislam. Oh, yes. I heard about that one the other day. I was like, what? Chrislam. I don't know. I haven't even looked it up that much. I have just heard somebody said that they're trying to now merge Christianity and Islam together in the whole seeker-friendly movement in this new thing called Chrislam, where they're saying that they're kind of both the same. Yeah. The kissing cousin of Muslimity. yeah. I don't think it'd be as popular with the whatever denominational movements are that are adopting it if they called it Muslimity. But anyways, as long as we get to go first. So. Four wives. Yeah, anyways. Sorry. But, oh man. The crazy stuff people come up with these days. I mean, just nuts. I mean, sometimes I wonder if these guys are smoking crack or what they're doing. I mean, maybe that's what happens when you just work a half day once a week. Is you just sit around and this is the kind of stuff you come up with. I know, Chrislam! Anyways. Yeah, get a job or something. I don't know. No, sorry. I get really kind of annoyed with a lot of this stuff because it's just so blatant, so detached, so. I mean, what in the world are they thinking? You know, the road to life is straight and narrow. Few there are that find it. You know, Jesus Christ doesn't compromise. He is who he is. And either you love him for who he is and you accept him for who he is and you bow your knee before the King of Kings and live that life that he called you to live with his lordship over your life, or you're doing something else. You're doing Chrislam or whatever other Lam you want to call it, but you're missing him. Because in the end, he is who he is. He's not going to be something else to somebody else. He's not going to be, he's not going to change who he is to be seeker friendly. You know, so often Jesus was polarizing. When you read the scriptures, Jesus was not seeker friendly. He turned up the heat. When he would speak, he would turn up the heat. And he was a very difficult person to be around if you didn't love truth. If you loved truth and you wanted his way, yeah, you could be there because you knew he was speaking the words of truth. But if you didn't love truth, if you wanted your own way, if you wanted to serve your own thing, and you were looking for anything but him, it would be very, very difficult to have been around Jesus. Because he would just speak the truth. He would just be light wherever it is that he went. There was no shadow of turning in him. So people either accepted him or they rejected him. There was no middle ground. And what people fail to understand sometimes is that, you know, you can deceive yourself, you can deceive your friends, your neighbors, your countrymen, your whatever. But at the end of the day, the one that sees and measures your life is the Son of God. And he's going to settle accounts. He's going to bring all things to account and all things to judgment. And nobody gets away with anything. You know, nobody. You see, this is why, too, it's so dumb for people to lie. Because you may get away with something, so you think, in the short run. But in eternity, those lies will just be played back over and over and over and again. Because when you are separate from God, you live in the eternal condemnation of that which you did separate from Christ. And having to pay that debt, which you cannot pay. So, you know, it's, there's a challenge, which is, you know, stay on that track. Stay on the track of truth. But you make that choice. You make that free will decision. You know, I tell you what, it's so ironic because every time I try to speak, you know, I just get tired. I mean, like, seriously tired, like you know, like heavy, like I'm gonna pass out, sleep right now, kind of tired while I'm driving. You know, there's a spiritual element to that too. Have you ever noticed when you try to drive, or not drive, when you try to read? I shouldn't say drive. That's what I'm doing right now. Now, when you try to read, you know, try to read the word. And have you ever noticed how, like, you'll get really tired when you start trying to read the scriptures? Like, you get really tired. Like just, you know, like, oh man, I cannot stay awake. I cannot keep my eyes open. Now, you've woken up in the morning. You have had a good night's rest. And that doesn't happen to you with most other things you try to do. But when you try to go for truth, how all of a sudden you know, you get really tired, really sleepy. You know, that kind of thing happens a lot. There's a spiritual element to that. And when that happens, you just got to shake yourself and be like, in Jesus' name, Father, in Jesus' name, you know, I do bind that demonic spirit that seeks to bring lethargy and tiredness and confusion and to block your truth from coming through. In Jesus' name, I throw it out. You know, you can do that. And we do that all the time. You know, we get rid of those things that would seek to keep us from expressing God's will and plan and purpose in our lives, and that would seek to keep us from living the abundant life and from doing that which He's told us to do. You know, God's called you to minister, but when you start to minister in the way that God has called you to, every demon of hell will come against that child of God to try to keep them oppressed, to try to keep them down, to try to keep them on another track that's not the Father. See, the enemy doesn't want you free. He doesn't want you real. He doesn't want you out there doing what you're doing, walking with Christ, listening to His voice. You're like a loose cannon on the deck of a battleship in the olden days. You're just rolling around destroying everything because you do what the Spirit of God gives you to do. And what did Jesus say His ministry was? I came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, I believe, verse 8. For this ministry, the Son of God was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. And if you live in Christ Jesus, and in Him you live and move and have your being, your very existence destroys the work of the devil. Just you being you destroys the work of the devil. Just by you being yourself, you don't have to say anything. You just have to be. You just have to be a servant connected with the Father through Christ Jesus, and He's going to take care of the rest. If you need something, He'll supply it. If you want something, God's aware of the wants and the desires of your heart, and in good time, so many of those things He makes come to pass. But no, it is a challenge, though. It is a challenge living in this life and in this world. It is a challenge being attacked and sniped and evilly spoken of, people building cases against you and all of that. It's a challenge, yes. Of course. But if you understand that for this reason we were made, is to experience these things. You know, the very thing that we're trying to run away from is oftentimes the very thing that God is trying to help us go through. Because He's trying to make something out of us. He's the potter with the clay. God wants to shape your life into a way that glorifies Him. Oh. Yeah. You know, there's little that can be done for the worlders that have sold their souls unto the enemy. There's very little that can be done for them. No. God's redemptive plan and purpose, He's able to accomplish what He promised. But for those that have been scalped and have turned and do not want the Spirit of God, do not want truth, it's very difficult. Because, you know, where else will they go? And they, having received the knowledge of Christ Jesus and what was available to them through Him, they still chose to go another way. So they've trodden underfoot again the blood of Christ. What is that? Hebrews 13, 22, I think. But no, they've deliberately kept on sinning and gone another way. And hardened their hearts against truth and what's real. those are people you do not want working for you. Those are people you do not want to associate with. Those are people that are no good. They're no good for the children of God, and they don't intend good for us either. But yeah. No, it's all good in Christ, though. Whatever it is that we face, you're going to be okay. Whatever the challenges are that are against you, you're going to be fine. So, yeah, oh man, you know, in the middle of all of these things, and even these words, we live lives here in this life. We do things, we go to places, we do work, we change work. I mean, we're, you know, this is a busy life. There's a lot going on. But you got to focus. You have to keep your eyes on Christ, because if you get off, if you go another track, if you go another way, those things will eat you alive. In the realm of spirit, they will eat you alive. Ugh. You know, man, this, it is, I don't know why I'm so tired right now. I'm ridiculously tired. You know, speaking of which, hey, you guys that are listening out there, are you keeping us in prayer? It's a quick question mark. Are you keeping us in prayer? See, that's the one number one thing that we ask for, is that people protect us. If they, those that have sought to be part of these ministries, one of the number one things we ask for is that people would seek to protect us through prayer. Because prayer creates that shield, that hedge around us, as God responds to the prayers of His people on behalf of His saints to do His will. And, you know, without it, you know, we're outgunned. So, yeah, you know, prayer is what makes the difference. So, you guys, I mean, less than 1% of the people that listen in chip in anything to keep this broadcast going. But that's fine. It's still self-sufficient. But, you know, prayer is something that you can do. It costs you nothing. And to keep, but, you know, it's effective and powerful because we do it in His name. We do it in response to the need. We do it as God would lead and guide us to do it. So, yeah, you got to pray for us. You got to pray for our protection. You got to pray for our understanding. You got to pray for that free flow of the Spirit of God in and through us, because that's what makes the difference. You know what? That is what makes the difference. You and I, we can have all these plans and all these intentions and all these good ideas and desires and everything, but unless God builds the house, the builder builds in vain. Unless God shows the way, the people that do what they do are, you know, doing it unto their own destruction. Because there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So when people do those things apart from the Spirit of God, when they do those things apart from Him, they only receive in themselves destruction, even when it may be something that's seemingly good. But God knows. God knows the heart. That's why you got to do what it is that He gives you to do. You know, a couple other good guidelines is do something that you enjoy. And do something that's in line with your skills. So try not to get involved in doing things that displease the Father, that take you in another direction. And, you know, for your own sense of satisfaction, try not to do things for a paycheck. Try to do things because it's what it is that God would have you to do, or what it is that you enjoy doing. Because, you know, when we do the will of God, there's a blessing that comes with it, and there's also joy that we have as a result of it. So, you know, we're a blessed people. We're a blessed company of angels. We're just exceptionally wonderful because God has chosen us. He's chosen each and every one of us to be His children. So, you know, accordingly, you and I need to live up to the mark of the high calling that's ours in Christ Jesus. We can do that because the Spirit of God gives us the power to do that. When you've received Christ, He's given you the power to overcome death and the world and sin and all of it. You know, nothing can hold you. Nothing can bind you. Nothing can keep you from fulfilling what it is that God has for you. So, car with the right side facing me. Yeah, that's not nice. Oh, man. But, yeah, we're almost back. We're getting back pretty quick. But, last couple of stretches of road. But, man, so many cars. Wow. So many cars on the road right now. And they keep bringing new ones all the time. And these old ones, you know, people know how to keep them running. So they just keep adding in more and more and more traffic. But, yeah, no, it's all good. You know, there's going to be some difficult times ahead. I know. And but you know what? Don't worry. Don't worry about whatever it is that you face, because God is in control. If you be marked for Him and marked as one of His, He's going to take good care of you. God doesn't leave His people out to dry. He's with them all the way through to the end. That's one nice, nice contrast between our enemy, the enemy of our soul, and the Lord God, which we serve with our whole hearts, is that the Lord doesn't leave His people out to dry. He goes with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. He's there with you in the middle of your trial. He doesn't leave us out to dry. The one who does that is Lucifer. Boy, I tell you, the devil, the enemy of our soul, he will knock off people left and right. He will leave them to die in a puddle of their own vomit. I mean, he's done that tons of times before with these rock stars. You know, the devil will set them up and destroy them and merchandise them the whole way. And if the enemy can find a lamb that will take the bait, all the more reason why he sets it up the way that he does. So, be mindful, be aware. Don't let there be a place for the enemy to get a foothold in your life. Because especially now, since the world is getting more and more chaotic, you know, people are going to start doing things out of knee-jerk reactions and out of a desire to save their lives. And they're going to literally be willing to up and move to remote locations without asking God, nonetheless, but moving to remote locations and putting themselves there and seeing, okay, now what happens? You know, I mean, look, wherever it is that you live, that's not the issue. You know, the issue is that God desires that His people live in intimacy with Him. God wants His people to trust Him. God wants his people to know him completely and fully, understand. But no, it takes free will. It takes the application of your will to that which you desire in your heart the most. And for those that have sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, they shall be filled. Blessed is those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, God will take care of his people, always does. So, you know, don't worry though. Don't worry about anything. Yeah, I know there's sometimes that things get difficult. I know that bills can get a little bit behind and difficult and stuck. But just know that in all of this, that God is in control. And you were born at such a time as this for the purposes and plan of God to be fulfilled in and through your life. So rather than run from it, do what you can to embrace it. Do what it is that you can to enjoy that which God has given you already. You know, so often people focus on what they don't have, and they forget what it is that they do have. And they focus on the negatives, and they don't realize the positives. And look, do you have running water? Yes. Do you have a couple of parents that you can get a hold of? Yes. You know, do you ever do a family break or family trip? Yeah, you have. There's all these good things that people don't remember. But people remember the negatives. You know, and so, you know, don't let the negatives get you down, because that's just a pastime of so many of these people that are not truth lovers. They're very negative people. Whereas God's people have peace and life and truth and abundance in Christ Jesus. You know, God's people, we don't lack in any good thing. We're not missing anything. I know that sometimes it's tough because people still see things based on the way that they were trained, based on their natural understanding. You know, it's part of this whole thing is unlearning certain things. Okay, I'll give you a natural example. How did most of us learn to read? Well, chances are we had that old school teaching method where the teacher comes in, puts the letter on the blackboard and says, A is for apple. And then the class goes, apple, apple, A, apple. And they learn to read by pronouncing everything. And then what happens? Well, they get a bit older and they continue, even as they read and pronounce in their head. Now, when people read and pronounce in their head, what is it that they're ending up doing? Well, they're going a whole lot slower than their brain can go. But that's how they learned. They learned to pronounce the sound, and after learning to pronounce the sound, then they kept reading like that in their head. And the consequence is that very, very few people with that method will ever get past, I think it's like averages like 250, 300 words a minute. Fastest ones being like 400 and change. So, but maybe even, you know, maximum 500 words a minute if you can get the micro machine then. But when people, when they've unlearned that barrier, and when they learn, they re-educate, so they learn that to let their mind go free in the process, the things that they read. I mean, the world's fastest reader reads at 80,000 words a minute, I think, is Howard Stephen Berg. Pretty incredible. You know, that's, you know, you cannot pronounce that fast. But he just learned how to take in information. So, you know, that's part of the walk in Christ, is unlearning and then relearning. You know, you got to unlearn certain things about the way the world has programmed you, and what it is that you believe is important and to be expected, and what it is that's not. And what it is that we can do about that. So, you know, again, don't worry, but trust Him. Faith and trust is the same word. We've talked about that. Trust Him. Have faith in our Father, because He will surely lead and guide you all the way through. So, yeah, you know. Oh, and also too, hey, really, really like getting the emails that you guys have been sending in. You know, it's nice to get mails from people that have never written in before, and for you to just tell us that you're out there. You know, if you don't want us writing you back, you can always use the form, so that we don't have any email addresses or anything like that. But we always like to say hi and just encourage you guys to keep on that track and to fulfill God's plan and purpose for your life. Because you know what? In you doing what God has for you to do, you're going to find peace. You're going to find joy. You're going to find the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, manifesting through you. And you know, there's no other way. There's no other way if you're going to be real about it. There's no other way. You can't have a double life. You can't have some of the world and some of God. It doesn't work like that. It never has, never will. Like Joshua said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. You know, there's a reason why that has been on our homepage throughout. It's scripture from Joshua. Is that, you know, you make that decision every moment of every day. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. You make that decision every moment of every day, where ultimately your eyes are facing either Christ or they're not. You're serving either the world or not, or you're serving the Father. But there's no middle ground. And, you know, we talked about the sower and the seed and what happens there. You know, if you haven't heard that one, check it, because there's a lot that needs to be understood in the paradigm that you face, so that you can live the abundant life and be free. But the main thing to understand is, look, when God says, you do. When He says, go left, go left. When He says, go right, go right. When He says, go straight, go straight. When He says, stop and pray, stop and pray. Jesus told the disciples, watch and pray. And that was the call. And they couldn't do it. And, you know, that's the need, is to watch and to pray. So, you know, right now in this time, just be sure that you're aligned, that your heart doesn't get weighed down with all these cares and concerns that the rest of the world is getting weighed down with, because for us, our priorities are different. For us, our fears and our concerns, you know, we're not really afraid about what's going to happen in this life. You don't have to be. Why would you be? We're just passing through. We don't have a vested interest in this long-term reality here. This is just, this is not our home. We are sent in for a window of time on an assignment by the Father to do whatever it is that He has for us to do. We do what we can, where we can, when we can. And we do it out of obedience, and we leave the results in His hands. Just obey and trust. Everything else will sort itself. So, hey, I love you guys. God bless you. Keep on keeping on. And we'll catch up again sometime soon. So, all right. Talk to you later. Bye.